Throughout the Christmas season, we've been looking in the Bible at all the times when the angels appear to tell us how important this birth really is. Sometimes if you're driving along the road, there'll be something nearby that you won't know about unless there's a lot of signposts that tell you. It's a small little thing. You can easily miss it, but you drive along the road and a big sign comes up and says it's coming up in 10 miles. You keep going, another signpost comes up and says it's coming up in 5 miles. You drive along, another signpost comes up and says 1 mile. And then a big signpost and says, turn right here, and you're almost there. Signposts tell us something that might be missed otherwise. Get us to notice something we might just fly by otherwise. And the angels in the Bible story do that. The angels are telling us, do not miss who this baby really is. There's angel after angel after angel saying, look, 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 look. Don't miss it. And we read at the beginning of the service, the birth of the Lord Jesus. And now in verse 8 to 21, we see an angel appear and a response. And in that response, we see some lessons about just how important this baby is. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 21. Please follow along with me as I do so. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the angels told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Please have a seat. You may want to turn back to Luke chapter 2 in your church Bibles. Reference page number is 857, if you need to find that again. And we're looking at the verses that Michael read to us a moment ago that actually we've sung all about in all of our songs so far. We've sung about the shepherds coming and finding Jesus, the baby. It's such a familiar story. It's retold even in our country, even in our time, all across the country, in school nativity shows, everywhere. Put your hand up this morning if you have been in a nativity show at school. Great. Oh, loads of you. Maddock, check. Brilliant. Okay, do you mind me asking, what were you guys? What, a sheep? Some sort of sheep or angel. You're not even sure what you were. I'm concerned about you, Joe. Okay. So I know at least one person was a sheep, and maybe you're a shepherd or an angel or the innkeeper. Did anyone play Mary? No, I mean, that is, did you? Were you Mary this year? Wow. Top role. Now, here's one account of a nativity. Let me read you this. I hope yours didn't go like this. The nativity play was going well. Jesus had been born. The angels had announced his birth without too much waving, and no one had run away. And now Mary and Joseph were waiting for a visit from the shepherds. It never happened. From the side of the stage came raised voices. Instead of walking on, the shepherds had started to argue. I'm meant to go on first. No, Mrs. Cole said it was my turn. Before anyone could intervene, the shepherds were using their crooks to smack each other on the head. Soon the three young boys were in a full-on fight. Finally, a grown-up reached the battle, disentangled them, and pushed them through a door out of the hall. The nativity play carried on, but that year, no shepherds visited the baby. What we easily overlook in the account is that, unlike that, where the shepherds, it didn't happen that year, the shepherds didn't appear to the baby, we are thinking not of a story that has been told, but of an account that has been given to us. Every day, things happen, big things and little things. We've heard this morning already of a birth and also of a death. Little things happen, though, as well. Maybe you stub your toe or you cut yourself. And, you know, later on you look at that bruise or that cut and you remember that was because something actually happened earlier in the day. And no one can tell me that it didn't, because I know and I can still feel it. And the Bible tells us that the birth of Christ is something which actually happened in a particular time. If Joseph were wearing a watch, he could have looked and seen what the time was. In a particular place, if he'd had a GPS on his phone, he would have been able to see exactly where he was. And Luke is the most historical of the Gospels. He likes to tell us, the start of chapter 2, when it's happening and where. At the beginning of his Gospel account, he tells us as well why he's writing. He says, I'm basically telling you something that actually happened because it's so important. It must not be forgotten. You must not forget it. And I'm telling it from eyewitnesses who I have interviewed. The birth of Christ, the Bible says, is something that actually happened. And this is why when we sing about adoring him, there is a reality to this. And we want to go away thinking, okay, well, how do we respond to this event that has actually happened? Okay, so on this Christmas day, look with me, first of all, at a message from heaven that then finds confirmation on earth. And children, I will need a couple of volunteers in a few minutes. So any of you kind of ready to, you know, get your mind around that, that'd be great. But I'll need a bit of help in a moment. First of all, we have the message from heaven. This is verses 8 through to 14. Verse 8, you've got the scene set. Can you imagine the shepherds on the hillside? It's dark and they're just doing their job, keeping watch over their flock by night. And you know, it's really, really wonderful that it is shepherds who get told this message, this awesome announcement, because they were really, really ordinary people doing a very, very ordinary job in the dark when all was quiet and most people were in bed, perhaps a little bit like cleaners today who will go into the city when it's still dark. No one will see them really or think much about them. Or the road workers on our roads who are slaving away at night, and maybe they wake you up in the night sometimes with their noise. And similarly, at the end of Luke's gospel, it'll be the women who come to the tomb. It's really interesting. There's a message here in the detail. The Bible's message is coming through that while the proud and impressive people are in Rome and on their thrones like Herod in Jerusalem, God has come for those who know their poverty. And Mary says as much in verse 52. That's in a different part of the passage. And in that really ordinary scene, one, just one angel appears. He comes, though, with something else. Can you see what else he comes with in verse 9? Because that is the thing that I think terrifies them utterly. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. So this angel comes, and he comes with a glory. This incredible shining glory. If you've ever looked at the sun in the summer, don't, because it's not good for your eyes. But it's that sort of thing. And if you compare the contrast with how it was at night, suddenly it's completely like day. And it's a glory which makes us think about the visible shining glory and presence of God over the tabernacle and temple in the Old Testament. The people looked at it and they said, God is with us, when they saw that. A little bit like when the king is in residence, the flag will be up over the palace. We know, oh, the king is there. When you see this glory, it's the glory of God. It shows his presence. And this wonderful gospel symbolism here. This darkness of night is expelled by the glory of God. Isaiah prophesied, the people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. So our world feels very dark sometimes, doesn't it? And maybe if you've got to know Jesus for a while, you've started to realize that actually it's not just the world out there, it's my heart in here without Christ. Here we're seeing a very physical symbol of what the gospel is. It's God breaking into our world, breaking into our hearts, shining his gospel light. The darkness dispelled is a picture of our world, the dazzling return of Christ. When he comes back, it will be like this. It will dispel all darkness. Now, this angel, as the angels always have to do, they have to reassure. They have to say, it's okay, don't worry. We're not coming to tell you off or judge at this point. And so they say, fear not. They reassure the shepherds. We bring good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. And then we hear the message itself in verse 11. It's consistent with all that we've heard to Mary and Joseph so far. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's a little bit like three steps. A Savior. Wow. That's a big name. He's going to save people. Who could this be? Well, it could be a human being, just someone who saves. But then he's Christ. Okay, Christ, that's a bigger name. This is the Jewish Messiah promised to save, the anointed one. And then thirdly, he's the Lord. Wow, that's an even bigger step. He's God. They're told it's in Bethlehem. It's the place with historic links to King David. Again, Luke is saying this is tying in with all of the prophecies. And just look at those words in verse 11. For unto you is born this day. Unto you. Just get your head around that. The angel says this to shepherds. You know, what right have they got to receive a baby? Unto you. Now, it's not just unto them. He's really echoing words from Isaiah, where we read that to us a child is born, to us a son is given. So that unto you, I think, is to God's people. There's a sense in which it is to the world. But what an incredible thing for those shepherds to hear. The shepherds are given a sign. Verse 12. A way of confirming the truth of what they've just heard. Look at what the sign is in verse 12. It's actually really weird if you think about it. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, swaddling cloth, that just confirms it's a newborn baby. That's what you do. It's like saying you'll find a baby dressed in a sleep suit. You know, from Marks and Spencer's or something. That's pretty normal. Okay, well, tell me something more specific. Well, here it comes. And lying in a manger, that's a bit like saying, dressed in a sleep suit and lying in the kitchen sink. What? Why would you put a baby in the kitchen sink? Why would you put a baby in a manger? A manger is an animal's feeding trough. And having given this surprising bit of information about a sign of a baby lying in a manger, the angel show comes to its grand finale, and this time the one angel brings his friends along, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and they're all glorifying God there. And that word, a multitude of the heavenly host, the word host literally means army, so it's describing heaven's army. That's what we're looking at. I mean, if just one angel and all that glory had that impact before, just imagine what this sight was like. And their focus, these angels, is on praising and glorifying God for this immense moment in salvation history. Somehow in heaven, God is even more glorified by this. Somehow on earth, there is peace. Peace with whom God is pleased. And just key question, who is that? How can I know that's me? Because actually the Bible says, as I am, God is not pleased with me. But wonderfully in the next chapter, we see that God is pleased with his son. He says that at the baptism, with you I am well pleased. The message of the Bible is when we are united with Christ by faith, We share the Father's pleasure that is on him. For you and I to know this peace, we need to be united by faith to the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. Now, we owe this shepherd, we owe this account rather entirely to the shepherds. Maybe it came via Joseph and Mary. Maybe Luke managed to track down one of the old shepherds who retold the story. Yeah, I was there that night, recounted it. But only they are treated to this, just these shepherds, ignored and unseen by society, but treated by God to this amazing heavenly show. Maybe you saw during the World Cup, on some of the off days for the England team, they were treated to a private concert by Robbie Williams. I'm not imagining that, am I? I think I did see that in the news somewhere. Treated to or subjected to, depending on your point of view. But this was the most exclusive concert ever, wasn't it? Just to these shepherds. Have you ever come across something in nature, maybe a flower, a field of flowers, in the middle of nowhere, and you think, wow, these are flowering for a day or two. I may be one of the only people who see this. You think, what sort of God does that tell us he is? So extravagant. He blesses these shepherds in this way. The proud, like Herod and Augustus, remain blinded, but God loves to reveal the greatest things to those who are not too proud to respond to him with humility and with praise. And Jesus says as much in one of the later chapters. So we've got this message from heaven. Into darkness bursts light. God has come in the form of this child. It's announced and celebrated by angels to shepherds, just to shepherds, the lowest of the low in society. Well, so far it's just words. I mean, who can trust the account of shepherds? And who knows whether someone didn't just drop something hallucinogenic into their shepherd's broth that night. They've got to do some finding. They've got to do some checking out. Now, I need a shepherd as well. Maybe two shepherds to do a bit of finding and checking out. So I'd love a couple of volunteer shepherds, if anyone's feeling up to it, to do a bit of discovering for me. Am I seeing a hand up over there? Come and join me up here. Great. Fantastic. Abina, and come and join me up here. Is this mic on? Thanks. If I turn it on, it's on. Okay, we've got Abina. Say your name so we can all hear.
My name is Abina.
Brilliant. And tell us your
Lois.
Name. Lois. Okay, fantastic. Right, girls, can you be shepherds?
Yeah.
You know how to dress up as a shepherd? What do you need?
We need clothes from ancient times, like in the Roman times.
Do you agree? That sounds pretty good. I think you've done it before. Any other ideas, Lois?
You could put a tea towel around your head.
That's a good idea. It's a good job I've got a tea towel. Okay, one tea towel each on your heads. Okay. I mean, it's classic shepherd's costume, isn't it? Tea towel on your head, dressing gown rope around the tea towel, yeah?
What?
I think you girls know exactly what you're doing. Which colour do you want?
Blue.
Okay. That's it. Do you want a hand, Lewis? Okay, let's put it like that. You've got to be able to see at the same time. A bit over your forehead. And would you like me to tie that? Yep. Okay. A moment ago we had Abina and Lois. Now we have two shepherds. Fantastic. Okay, you ready to do some finding?
Yeah.
Okay. Now you heard what the shepherds were told. They were told to go and find a baby dressed in a sleep suit or swaddling cloths, okay? You're not going to find a baby. I mean, you could find a baby if you looked, but we're not going to look for a baby now. I'm going to tell you one first thing to find and then a second first thing to find, because I think the first one might be tricky. Okay, the first one is to find a particular person who I'm thinking of who is sitting on a chair. Can you do that? But it's got to be the person I'm thinking of. Can't you do that?
Yeah.
No. Why not? Why can't you do it, Lewis?
I don't have an idea.
You don't have an idea? Because there is... Go on, Amina, what were you going to say?
My idea might be your wife.
It might be, but you'd be wrong. Though it's not, you know, not a bad idea at all. Okay, now, if I tell you just to find someone sitting on a chair, that's a little bit like the angels just saying, find a baby dressed in swaddling cloths, because there were probably a few of them in Bethlehem. Okay, so what the angel said was, you go find a baby in a manger. So I'm going to tell you something more specific, more precise. I'm going to give you more detail.
The nativity.
Mm-hmm. This is about the nativity. Okay, I'm going to tell you to find somebody in here who is sitting on a chair and has a sock on their head. Go. And then you've got to find something under their chair. Can you find someone in here? You're going to have to walk down. You're right to do that, Lois. You're going to walk down. You might need to walk down the middle. And you're looking for somebody sitting on a chair with a sock on their head. And then come and let me know when you found them. Not before. It's tricky, isn't it? You're going to have to keep looking. You're going to have to keep looking. Do you? Well, if you know, say, Lois, say. We regularly have people sitting with socks on their heads here. Oh, you found him. Fantastic. Okay, go through to him. You can ask him his name. He talks. Okay, now, Abina and Lois, bring that envelope up here, and you're going to need to open it. You've found it. Well done. Thank you, James. Okay, great. Great. You can open this, Lois. Go on. You open that. Bean, you can give some commentary. What's going on? What can you see?
I can see white.
White.
Yellow. A coin.
Okay.
What two?
Well, I think you can have one of those each. Is that real money? Yes, that's even more real, isn't it? Now, inside there, who would like to read what it says? You might need a bit of help with some of it. If you take this out and open it up, Lois, that piece of paper. That's it. Just pull that out. You can open that up. That's the important thing. That's it. Open it up there. Now, who's good at reading? Anyone like to read that? Lois, do you want to start off, read any of that, or do you want to leave it to Abina?
Don't know.
Abina, do you want to read?
Yeah.
Some of the words might be tricky, but have a go.
No, it won't. Well done, shepherds, you found it. Now it's time for the Bible. Shepherds, to do the same.
Brilliant. Girls, can we give these shepherds a big hand? Thank you, Lois. You can go sit down. Great. I will need those tea towels back and dressing gowns, otherwise I'll be walking around the house. It won't be pretty. This, in case you missed that, it says, well done, shepherds. You found it. Oh, thank you so much, Lois. That's very... Girls, you're so tidy. Thank you. Well done, shepherds. You found it. Now it's time for the Bible shepherds to do the same. Well, it is time for the Bible shepherds to do the same. So let's look at what they do, because they do precisely that. They don't find a man with a sock on his head. But the message from heaven leads to confirmation. They go and find it. It leads to confirmation on earth. This is verses 15 to 20. And these verses encourage us to check when we hear God speak, when we hear God give a message, to check the truthfulness of it. When we do that, we'll find it to be right. We'll find God to be true. They decide to check it out for themselves. Look at verse 15. And verse 16, it says, they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So Abina and Lois, they went and they found exactly what the angels told them to find. And they realized the baby wasn't just in swaddling cloths like a normal newborn. The baby was also in an animal's feeding trough. How weird. Like a man with a sock on his head. And here we come back to where we started. Christmas is about a thing that has happened. In fact, those words are there in verse 15. They talk about this thing that has happened. It's not something nebulous like Christmas spirit, you know, that helps Santa's sleigh to fly through Central Park when Elf is trying to fix the engine. And so, actually, we can do what the shepherds did. We're encouraged to still do what the shepherds did, to test the Bible, to see if it's true, to see if there's any good reason to think if any of it's false. And then, yeah, of course if it's false. I don't want to believe something that's wrong, that's not true. But if it is, which I believe it is, then actually it's got big implications for us in how we respond to God. Well, the shepherds, they just can't contain their news. They go and they tell other people, verse 17, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And the saying, I take it, is what's there in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So that news is now going around the neighborhood. It's in the local papers. It's on the local radio. Everyone is hearing about it. And then we see three responses from different groups of people in the last three verses, which I invite you now to look at as we consider how we respond to Jesus. I want to invite us all to join them in their response to this birth. Response number one, verse 18. The general response is one of utter astonishment. That's what the word wonder means in verse 18. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Be amazed. We're told, be amazed. Follow the example of those who heard the news. Be amazed that the Lord has come. Be amazed that he's come in this way. Now, I think if you know the Christmas story well, this is one of the harder things to do. It's hard to keep being amazed and to keep that initial astonishment when you first hear it. And yet we do need to make sure that we don't lose sight of that. We don't flatten it out. It is an incredible story. We need to be working at ways that we hear it afresh and get that amazement coming across. This message is no less strange and unexpected today. That's why it is laughed off by most of our society, because people are not born of a virgin. These sorts of things don't happen. They don't happen unless God breaks in and chooses to do so. This is something to be amazed at. Response number two, verse 19. Look at Mary. We're told that she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, the word treasured is a word which is used of wine in wineskins to describe it being preserved, to be looked after. Mary preserved all of these things in her heart. And pondering is a word that means that she engaged with the topic internally. She meditated on the significance of what happened. And we're invited to join her in that response as well. And because we know how the rest of the story goes, we've got even more to ponder on than she did. We can ponder on verses like Romans 8:32. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. And then Paul goes on to say, well, therefore, will he not graciously give us all things? We have even more than Mary to ponder on this Christmas. Keep thinking. Give yourself time to do so over this Christmas period, even today. I want to take a bit of time out. That can be very hard, particularly if family life is busy and full on. Take time to ponder. So be amazed, treasure and ponder. Third response, glorify and praise God for sending his son. It's what the shepherds do. Look at verse 20. They returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So the same words used of the angels, they were glorifying and praising God. Those words are now used of the shepherds. It's as though the shepherds have become mini angels. They're doing what the angels did. Which shouldn't be that surprising, because the word angel literally just means messenger. So these shepherds are now being messengers. And we're to be messengers, glorifying and praising God. That heavenly message has found earthly confirmation. What God said is true, and that seems to be a Bible pattern. Angels are happiest when they offload a message to us and it's received, believed, and then passed on by believing people. They're kicking off a chain that they want us to carry on. So join the angels and join the shepherds in glorifying and praising God as we pass this message on for sending his son. As we conclude, just have a think of what we've thought about this morning. Maybe look at the passage in front of you. Christ has been born. He is not only a Savior, not only Christ, but he is the Lord. God has come. Shepherds have been directed to the place with pinpoint accuracy. That heavenly declaration has received earthly confirmation. This is a thing that has actually happened. Let me invite you to live your day today as though this event has happened. Be amazed, treasure and ponder, glorify and praise God. Let's pray, shall we? Let's take a minute to pause and be quiet. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. And we want to praise you because you have done this thing. Lord, you have looked on our world and you have seen that it needs a Savior. Lord, we can see that today. Lord, you knew that that Savior needed to be yourself. We need you to save us. We cannot save ourselves. And so, Father, this Christmas we thank and praise you for the wonderful way in which you have come and the motivation of love behind it. Love for our world. Love for your world. And we praise you that your glory has dispelled the darkness in Christ and will one day do that when he returns. And we pray that would increasingly happen in our dark hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.